AKB4CBA.
Am I hitting a repeater?
David?
Coming up on the state line here on 25. I'm getting ready to head down the big hill here, the 6% grade on 25, headed south.
Rain today for a change. Hope the weather's not too bad on your trip back home.
Pretty much been dry. Roads are dry. And we got a little bit of rain up in Maggie Valley this morning, I think last night, this morning. And I had my car all wiped off and with a Norex cloth, you know, had it all nice and shiny. And I got it this morning, it was all wet again. But you know, that's not a big deal, because when I started down the road, all of it just blew off.
Hard to keep them clean when it rains like that. It's just the very time you think you're not going to get any rain when you get it, especially if you drive a dark colored car like I used to do. Mine are a light color now. I don't pay too much attention to it, but I do keep them in my garage. But I don't get them. I used to get mine washed pretty often. I don't wash them as often as I used to either, though.
The nice thing about this Norex cloth is that if your car's wet, it washes it while you wipe it off. And so it needed it on the sides, especially. It had some, it wasn't super dirty, but it needed a little cleaning. And the rims definitely had a lot of good bit of brake dust, especially on the front. So I got them all shiny again. So I tell you, that brake dust can be wicked.
Yeah, seems like some wheels worse than others for picking it up. Maybe the design, I guess, of the alloy wheels, but some of them worse than those. Mine don't seem to be bad on the Civic, but on the Accord, they collect a lot of brake dust.
I've got ceramic pads on the front, but they're pretty dusty. Of course, the front does more work than the rear anyway, but it's a disc all the way around. But anyway, I need to change the brake pads on my wife's car on the rear, but they've been pretty close for a while now. I've been putting it off. they must be about thin as paper by now.
My brakes, when I was out on the road, my brakes used to last a long time. The tires did too. I put 100,000 miles more on brakes, maybe 150,000, but I didn't do a lot of stopping. I did mostly going.
Car, being a manual, I can just let off the gas and it'll slow down if I anticipate quick enough on the highway. You know, I don't have to use my brakes a lot unless they're just a sudden stop, and I had to use them a little bit on 26 going up the Maggie Valley, but coming back, it hadn't been too bad. That's why I came back today. I figured tomorrow is going to be the worst day to travel.
Sure of that. It's going to be terrible tomorrow, and the weather's probably going to be at least as bad or worse than today, more than likely. When I lived to this Accord, they had a 6-speed manual Accord, like a Super Sport, and there was I just don't drive one enough but back a few years ago, I'd love to have a 6-speed and a car that's got a little oomph to it. And of course, you know, back then they had turbochargers. They just do a 6-cylinder a V6, I guess, and now they don't do V6s anymore. All they do is just four-cylinder intercooled turbos, which turbo in this one's pretty smooth. It doesn't come on like you think it is. It just comes on gradually, but it's a lot better gas mileage there.
Well, I can imagine a six-speed and a V6 turbo or supercharger in a car that size, it'd probably get up and go pretty good. This is a six-speed manual in my Mustang, and I'm enjoying the heck out of it. But I think I'll just keep driving it. My extended warranty runs out in December, so I don't know if I can. I think I can extend it because I'm under 100,000. As long as you're under 100,000, but I'll have to talk to them about that and see what they got to say. Because this car is a 2012, but it really hadn't given me a ton of problems, so I've been real happy with it.
I didn't get one on this car. I should have, but usually, the only thing about these cars now is like you had trouble with your radio. The displays on these things were really expensive to replace and repair, and with all the stuff in the windshield. I think windshields are almost $2,000 to replace. I kind of wish I'd gotten one now, but Honda did not offer a factory type warranty like Subaru does. And I had one on my Subaru, and it was good. I just didn't like driving to Greenville to get the thing serviced. Nobody would work on it here in Anderson, and you had to drive over there and had to make an appointment. And that car had some electrical trouble. It kept burning out, lamps here, tail lights, and side marker lights, and all that sort of thing. That's really that, and plus the tire wear is really the only problems I had of that thing. But it was just something. It seemed like it was something all the time with it, and I haven't had anything like that with a Honda.
Now the lights, most problems with lights is a ground problem, but that would make it dimmer than burn them out. So I don't know what was going on there. That's kind of weird. But I've seen a lot of, lights that are dimmer on one side than they are the other. That's usually a ground problem. But anyway, well, I haven't run into any traffic much. I'm just starting to run into some here at 414. I guess everybody had to stop for the traffic light there. And so, old Toyota saw I was going around him. He laid into it, but I don't think he's going to make it.
Well, be careful. That car had, I don't think it had any LEDs in it at all. It was all incandescent or whatever they used to. But the headlights were fine. I burned out a tail light on one side, and 6 months later, tail light on the other side. And they had these modules. They had to take that whole module out to replace the tail lights and side marker lights. I burned out two or three of those. And so I don't know what the problem was. It was one of those, it was a Forester, and it was made totally in Japan. It was an import. And I would have thought it would have been a little bit better quality, but it wasn't. I just never felt, it drove good, and you could see out of it really well, but other than that, though, it just never did impress me as much as I thought it would. I bought it with banking on their reputation of building safe cars, and of course never had an accident in it or anything like that, but he just never impressed me much. Other people I suspect with have had great service out of theirs and never had a bit of trouble with it or anything. But mine, I was the first year they put a timing chain in it, and they used that zero weight oil in it, and I mean, you couldn't, the thing was, they'd use a quart of oil about every 5,000, 6,000 miles, which just didn't, and that just didn't sit well with me at all.
CBA. Yeah, my uncle had, I remember he had a 49 Ford, had a flathead V8 in it, and it burned a quart of oil every 100 miles. He had a 5-gallon thing of 30 weight oil, and he he'd pull over about every 100 miles and pour a quart of oil in it, and he said he just hated that car, but hey, it got him from point A to point B.
That using the oil thing was a thing of the past, but I think it has something to do with the design of that engine, that super engine. Plus, you know, it's a horizontal four cylinder, and it took the other thing. It took a much much heavier battery. A higher rate average battery to crank it because the cylinders were horizontally opposed. But you could get to everything to work on it, you know, that sort of thing pretty easily, but there's something about that design of the engine. You know, that first year they built that thing, people really complained about it, and you know, they kept saying it was normal. I said, you know, that ain't, you know, I said, look, because I've owned cars, you know, along with it, you know, some of these guys have been alive. I said, they, you know, that's not typical. Yes, it may be typical for this engine, this car, but it ain't typical in general. I said, very seldom. I mean, if you run 5,000 miles, that thing uses a quart nowadays, people would be looking, they'd be pouring all over that thing, trying to find out what's wrong with it.
And this holds 10 quarts of full synthetic oil, and it holds every drop of 10. Put the oil up to the top of the dips, to the, you know, the line on the dipstick, it must have a really deep oil pan. I hadn't really paid that much attention to it. I changed the oil in it myself because I just, you know, want to make sure it's done right, and I just get to where I don't trust anybody anymore. I hate to say that, but I don't.
It's unreal having 10 quarts in a V8 like that. That four-cylinder Subaru I had, it took 6 for it. The 10, I mean, that thing must have a huge reservoir. Either that or it's just the way the engine's designed. But, of course, you know, do most of the stuff yourself anyway, so you know what you're doing. But, you know, I used to do all that stuff myself, but now I don't trust myself to do it. Plus, it's hard to get some of these cars. It's really hard to get to some of the stuff in them to work on anything without putting 3 or 4 things in. You know, they don't design them to be easy to work on. They just design it to put as much junk under the hood as they can get under there, I think.
Hey, that's the fun part is just figuring out how to get. Let's see, now how am I going to get to that? Do I have to pull the engine out to change the spark plugs? And I don't know if you remember the Vega, but they had to pull it. You had to pull the engine out of it. I'm sure they had to pull it all the way out, but they had to lift it up to change the spark plugs on a Vega.
When I had a couple of friends that owned them, I did not know that. That was an unusual car anyway. I think Keith over in Seneca, I think he had one. K4 Sidgeway, I think he had one when he was younger. They had one, the family had one. It was either Vega, it might have been a Chevette or something, but anyway, it was, they were changing stuff on that thing all the time, if I remember correctly. But I had a friend of mine when I first started working in Fort Mill. He'd buy one for like $200. And I said, what happens if something goes wrong? He said, I'm just going to leave it on the side of the road.
Oh, was that the Yugo? That was pretty much a disposable car.
I think he had a Vega, but yeah, Yugo was probably the same way. Renault Macar, I think, had a friend of mine had one of those too. Yeah, I'm not gonna say exactly what he called it, but he wasn't thrilled about having. He bought it. He bought one. So he took responsibility for buying it, but he wasn't happy about it. I think he gave him all kinds of trouble.
As a kid, my dad's one of his best friends lived down the street. I guess it was before he got married. Because that's where his mom lived. And anyway, and he drove it's a little white one, and it was a two cycle, if you can believe it. And I can remember, that thing, he'd let off the gas, and that thing would start backfiring, pow, 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 like that. And we'd just kind of laugh at it, because, it was kind of funny, that little bitty white car, going down the road, making all that noise and puffing smoke.
My uncle's bought a Renault Dauphine. It's been back in the early 60s, I guess. He was always buying these weird cars. And he was a big guy. How he got in it, it's kind of like he folded himself up to get in and out of it. He just bought it for the novelty of it, I think. But, you're talking about two-cycle engines. Very few people have seen one of them, but you may have, since you're a car guy. Yeah, before Suzuki built this Samurai they built some years ago, I had one of those, too. I drove back and forth 2 or 3 miles to work, but they made another one called a Suzuki Mini Brick, which was a four-wheel drive deal. It had a 360cc Suzuki motorcycle engine for its power.
They tell me we were reading the description. Where was it? It's one of the theme parks. And anyway, they had these cars, and they had chopped them down. They were like Honda Civics, but they had taken them and shortened them. Almost made like go karts out of them. And they had a motorcycle engine in them, and they were doing all kinds of crazy stunts in them. And I bet those things were fun to drive though, because those guys were having a blast in those things. They could just do all kinds of crazy stunts. And I can't remember where that was, if it was Dollywood or where. I just don't know. Well, ran through a little shower. I call it a hard drizzle. And Traverse Rest, but it's dry here. I'm coming up on, I'll be at Cherrydale in about a mile. And, so anyway, this Nissan Versa just cut me off. I can't believe it. Who does he think he is, anyway?
I don't think I've ever seen those, David, but that sound like they'd be cool. I remember reading about the early Hondas, when they started making cars. I must have been back in the early 60s or so. They made a car for, Japanese domestic market. And it came with a little Honda 50cc motorcycle in the trunk. I don't know what they were planning on doing, whether you're going to park it somewhere and drive it or not. But, if you remember those Legends little race cars they used to race in Charlotte, especially in Charlotte and other places, kind of in the infield on like a little road course. Now, those little cars had 1,100cc motorcycle engines on those, too, I think.
That Nissan would blow that Mustang away in 0 TR.
He needs to wake up because he's dreaming.
Hi, guys. Hi, Jerry. I called you on the way over here. We just been over and had homemade ice cream and peach crisp that Bernice made and took it over to the lake and visited with the daughter. The son-in-law's down at Darlington watching the races with some friends, and the youngest grandson had two visitors over, and they was playing some kind of board game. So that's what we've been up to. How's everybody doing? Go ahead, Jerry.
good time. We were talking about you yesterday, Rusty and I were. Thought we might bring you out of the woodwork, but you were busy doing something else, I guess. And I got that picture of that peach pie, by the way, and that was just cruel and unusual punishment to show somebody something like that. That looked really good, really good. But it's been raining here most of the day, which is, I mean, I'm tickled to death to get some rain. But we finally got some rain. The sun came out for a little while, for about 30 minutes, but it's been raining off and on most of the day today. Go ahead, David.
If I ate the way Tom did, I'd weigh 300-plus pounds. I mean, you must have one heck of a metabolism. It's eating up all that fat and sugar and stuff that you eat. But anyway, because your wife, she just cooks up a storm, and everything she cooks looks good. Everything that I've seen, and so anyway, so I don't know how you keep the weight off, but you know, hats off to you.
Between tennis matches and high-lying soccer, it just wears it off, Dave.
Maybe I can pick up, do a pickup game of hockey or something, you know, on the side, in between my tennis games. Maybe they'll let me, help them warm up there. I don't even know the name of our hockey team, but anyway, boy, I'm really with it. But anyway. I'm stopping here at a bad spot, so if I drop out, just keep talking.
If you're playing hockey, I'd like to see some action photos of that, and also find out what all you're taking to be able to do that sort of activity. That's the only thing in hockey I'd be good for. Might be a backstop, maybe. And that's it. If the puck went by me, just have to go by me.
And double doses of geritol, Jerry. You lie a lot. We play the roly-poly type. I eat a lot of times, but I don't eat a lot, I guess I'd say, Dave.
And
you,
all the time.
Quiet, Bernice. We didn't want to hear from the peanut section there. I got to have my grapes and, plums and stuff, a cantaloupe each day and things like that. And this was just extra. She made this peach crisp, Jerry, because it was easier to make than the peach pie. And the peach pie, it was gone last week. And we usually eat just a little bit and then share it with the neighbors. And they love Bernice, too. But that peach pie was out of this world. So was this peach crisp. And she said it's much easier to make a peach crisp than it is a peach pie. It didn't look it to me, but the kids really enjoyed it. And they've been over to the lake with their friends, and they're getting ready to leave. So we got out of there pretty quick. And we got a quarter inch of rain's all we've got, Jerry. But still looks kind of promising here in a way, but not too much. They said we might get as much as an inch this weekend on the weather. But you know how they are. Go ahead, Dave. KB4CBA and 0TR.
KB4CBA Mobile. Well, I just went by. I'm on Rutherford Road all the same. Went by the JT's gas station back there, 319, and it's 369 in Maggie Valley. So be glad you live in South Carolina, boy. I tell you, 369, unbelievable. But anyway, so that's what my sister's having to pay for gas, and she drives a big old Jeep. She late model Jeep, I think it's a 21, and she can have it too. I'd rather have a Mustang any day of the week. away. Go ahead, Jerry.
Your ride's better, goes faster. What time Bernice told on you, I heard it very clearly, and there's no denying that. But you still stay in pretty good shape, and that's good. I don't eat as much as I used to eat. I'd like to eat a lot more, but I'm just not able to. But that beach pie went really good. I like somebody can do that lattice work like that. That is really that's not as easy as it looks. I like cobblers too, but I'd much rather have pie than cobblers. I like having a crust on the top and the bottom. That's always better for me. It's not as good, it's not any better for you, but it tastes better.
And it's pretty. Amy, our daughter over here, that's all I can say about her cooking and her artwork with it. Some of the folks at work now and then, she'll make a wedding cake for. But she's just incredible when it comes to artwork and baking together. And she makes things for the football team. She made some the other day and had the helmets and the emblems of the team and all that on them. I don't know how she does it, but she truly is good at it. Maybe she got a CAD system there to get away or something. But I think she takes after her mom. Well, you haven't done much radioing. Got one egg from the new girls today. It's supposed to be brown. It was white. But it was the very first one, so maybe they got their genetics messed up or something, Dave.
Brett said that I didn't hear all that because I had a phone call in between that, but I'm sure it was a good conversation. and I'll just take this opportunity to say, hey, Bernice, and make Tom behave. I know it's tough and full-time job and all that, but somebody's got to do it, and I think you're the woman for the job.
I'll try, and thanks.
But no hope. Go ahead, Jerry.
I'm sure it is a full-time job. And it's that way with every wife, I think, you know, keeping all of us straight over the years. Even more so after we retire, because we find all kinds of other stuff to dig into. We probably don't have any business doing, but we stay busy doing stuff. Well, sometimes I make a bigger mess than I clean up. M4DJC, go ahead.
Oh, are you arriving at your home, Dave, or just palabering there after the phone call?
That's what the phone call was about. I was asking the wife about toothpaste, of all things, but I used the last of what I had, so was calling her to see if we had any at home, and she said that we had some samples, so I guess I better stop and get some. So I'm here at Wally Martin Taylor's. I'm gonna see if I can find some toothpaste, and who knows what else I might run into before I get out of here. But I'm gonna say 73s and pull in a parking place here, and I'll go inside and see what kind of trouble I can get into. But anyway, enjoy the QSO and thanks for the ride along. I'm glad to be back home. And y'all take care. 73's KB4CBA.
Here this afternoon. Be careful there. There was some guy stole an airplane up. I think it was Illinois, wasn't it, Bruce? It was a King Air. That's a big plane, a twin engine. He was a mechanic or something. And that's what he was going to do, was dive into the Walmart with it. But they somehow changed his mind, so he landed in a field. 73, Dave. Sender OTR. Go ahead, Jerry.
Dave, have a good afternoon. Glad you're back home. Okay. Tom, I think it was in Memphis or somewhere, but I may be wrong, but I saw that. That's just crazy. Go crashing into Walmart, I think, is what he said he was going to do. But I just wanted to check. I've been going through some 2-meter radios here, and I've been trying out. I've got one today. I'm doing a JZ-300. I wanted to see if the audio was okay on it. I've been trying to find something that runs more power, you know, 25 to 50 watts, and I about decided this one. I like the audio on this end of it okay, but I don't know whether the audio on the other end is okay or not.
Well, I'd say it was excellent. Couldn't get any better, Jerry, if it's the one you're talking on now.
And it's got, it's just a deal, it's got a detachable faceplate, but it's got APRS too, but I just wanted a dual band and something I could move around if I needed to. It had a little more power than a handheld or something like that. And this has got a big speaker, and it's got a cooling fan. The fan's real quiet, and it's got a nice heat sink up under the bottom of it too. And his color screen is just easy for me to see, so I pretty much set my sights on this one. It's, I think that's 5, 25, and 50 watts. And 25 works pretty good for me here, because that way, if it's kind of marginal, you know, sometimes it's marginal with 5 or 10 watts from here at the house, but 25 will usually get in pretty good. You know, most of the repeaters I normally use anyway.
Good thing, Jerry. It sounds perfect. I don't think you could get any. You better sound like you're sitting here between us, doesn't it, Bernice?
Yeah.
And I think you got a good one there. I still got my old ICOM 208. So I got two of them, and then I got this Jesus here that's 7800, I think. And that's what I got in the car. Until they crap out, that's what I'm going to use. I like the looks of that one that W4MGU put in his car. It's a beauty. I can't tell you what it is, but it's a Yaesu dual bander, and it, of course, shows both bands at the same time, whereas this one here in the truck and the car, well, none of mine do, Jerry, at all. And that would be nice, although I don't use 440. Someday I might. I just haven't found any use for it down here, and I've been told that there's some activity there, but I don't know, just getting older, Jerry.
This is a step down from the one that Chad's got. Chad's got a 400. This is a bigger screen. It's got a touch display. This one is smaller, but it's color, but it's not a touch display, but it is a true dual band. You can receive on both bands, cross band with it, the full duplex for satellites as well. So it works out being pretty well with that. And it's a little easier use than the Kenwood was, and it does have APRS, which I like to use sometimes for the satellite stuff. And I've been real happy with this one. I tell you, that JZ 7800, you just can't beat those things. They're just, the 7800s, the 7950, and you know, some of those old ones are some of the better radios, better dual banders that have been built, I think, as far as durability. But the new ones, this one has been unusual, and it's kind of between the top of the line and the bottom of the line, but it's got what I need on it, so I'm gonna hang on to this one. Especially since it sounds pretty good. Like I said, the audio on this end sounds good. It's plenty loud enough. And it still sounds like a mobile. It doesn't sound like a bass or anything like that, but it's got good audio on this end.
Well, it's just absolutely perfect, Jerry. Now, we was looking in this yard, and it looked like there were three goose statues out there. And they was... three live geese out there, and the one turned his head and looked at us. We wouldn't have known that. Shoot. They used to have a place down there on the south of Buncombe, across from that peach place, that had sheep, and they'd move them each day. They had a herd of sheep out there. And you know, somebody was low enough to go out there and steal those sheep.
That's crazy. We got somebody down the road from us who's got sheep, and of course they have a couple of donkeys out there to look after them. And I know Chad's, it is, you know, they had a couple of those. I can't remember the name of the dog. It's just white, big white dogs. And there's a guy down here that's about 2 or 3 miles from us. Got a little small farm down there. He's got a bunch of goats. He's got a couple of llamas and, you know, pot-belly pigs, you know, and, you know, that sort of thing. He's got a couple of those big white dogs. I want to say, I can't remember the name of them now, Tom, but you know what I'm talking about. They're like St. Bernard, but they're all white. Those, they don't let them out at night, but you can see those things stand out there in the field when you drive by. They just stand out. But I guess they keep just about everything out of that, away from those goats and pot-belly pigs.
They're Great Pyrenees, and I've seen them work sheep before. Now, these sheep were statues of sheep, and they stole the statues. And it's a real nice apartment place down there. And each day, somebody would go out and place them at a different spot in the field, and they looked real, but they weren't, and somebody stole them. I'll tell you, I don't get it nowadays. They even steal from churches. So it's going downhill, I'll tell you. Wouldn't have thought of such a thing in the old days. But yeah, they're a wonderful dog. Yeah, when I give Chad those, we give Chad some speckled Sussex chickens and got these black ones, these black Australops. He said he had to put them in a cage and leave them in there where the Great Pyrenees could get used to them for a few days, because anything else that come into that field, they would kill it. And I believe it. They're big enough to. Well, Jerry, we've arrived home. Glad you rode along with us. And hope to see you down the line. And like I said, I wouldn't change a dang thing on that radio. It's about as perfect as signal as I've ever heard. 73, Jerry, take care. N4, DJC, N0TR, Cliff.
And you and Bernice are home safe and sound. And good talking to you again today, as usual. We'll catch you later on. Just don't eat too much this evening. You made me hungry listening and talking about all that good stuff. N0TR, N4DJC, clear.
4AAW.
AAW, N4DJC.
Yes, sir. What repeater am I getting here? I'm on an HD and voicing in a building.
Huge Amateur Radio Society repeater. It's 146-61. It's located on top of Caesar's Head, and at Caesar's Head, it's up about at least 2,500 feet, maybe higher than that. But it's a wide-ranging repeater. Yeah, it's got great coverage, and you got a little background noise on you, but you sound fine. For the audio sounds good. You sound fine for using a handheld.
I'm using an illegal handheld. I'm actually on the second floor of a building in Royston, which is about 10 miles south of Hartwell, Georgia. So I'm trying to figure out.
You dropped out there for a second. If you're in Royston, I'm originally from Harlow. I'm in Anderson. If you're from Royston, you're hitting it. That's pretty good on the handheld. It some people get people in from far away, Rock Hill and Athens and other places too. When the band has got a little bit of opening, but it's a really good repeater, and there's a fair amount of activity on it as well.
Too bad for a little handheld then, so it's W4AAW.
said the audio's good, but you can tell you're on a handheld. I mean, it's just you kind of you're not down in the noise completely, but you're down far enough to know that it's a handheld rather than a mobile rig or anything like that. But you should be able to hit that. Well, they call it the Elberton repeater, but that repeater's up between Hartwell and Elberton, out there near the not too far from where the Guidestones were. You should be able to hit that one pretty easily as well from Royston, I imagine.
Elberton without a problem. I can also get Kernsville. Kernsville is actually closer. I can hit Tocoa. Wahala, usually did Sasser Pass with Yetterton the other day, so I hit it. But the furthest I've gotten, it sounds like, is Caesar's Head, if that's where this is at. That's still in for a little HD.
Like I said, it sounds good. You get into it well enough to carry on a conversation. A little better antenna would definitely help, but you know, being inside, I'm inside as well, but I'm running a 5-element beam inside here, so I'm running 25 watts as well. But sounds good on this end. I got to jump out here and go back downstairs. It was good talking to you. The name is Jerry. Juliet Echo, Romeo, Romeo Yankee. And my wife and I both originally from Hartwell, and I don't know if you know Bill. N4WHM, he and I have known each other for a good while, and I don't know if you know him or not. Holding repeater there, you were kind of dropping in and out. Battery must be running down just a little bit. But anyways, good talk. We hope you have a nice afternoon. W4AAW, I think that's correct. N4DJC, clear.